The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
My name is Maggie. I love Mike, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast. I want to hear my voice.
This is Rick from Valencia, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
I'm Malik. I'm from Minnesota. I listen to Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Stephanie Grace from Boynton Beach, Florida, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Bob Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia.
This is Ashley Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia, and we listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 508 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Lane, hello, Michelle.
Hey, have you missed me?
Yeah, you've been gone for, what, four days?
Have you guys been holding down the fort?
We've been trying to do our best. You know, we're trying to call on our feminine side to make sure that there's also a feminine touch to the podcast, but you know, as much as we try, there's just no way to replace you.
Just what I wanted to hear. Well, I'm still in Florida, frolicking. I've been doing a lot of fun things, so I'm hoping today we can talk about one of the things I got a chance to do.
And by the way, Michelle, Chris is in here. Chris is also
Who?
Chris Eliopoulos. He's also been frolicking with his family in Florida, and so we're trying to. We are the frolicking Floridians.
Yeah.
On this particular show, we're trying to provide some information to our listeners who may be considering taking one of the tours offered at Walt Disney World. And from time to time, you know, we've done stuff in the past, and we've tried to report on them so that those people who are thinking about those tours get an idea as to, you know, what they can expect. And you took one in particular that we want to talk about on this show, and what is it called?
The one that I took two, but the one we're going to talk about today is called Wild Africa Trek, and it is at the Disney's Animal Kingdom. And the reason I took this is because I had a cast member friend who told me it was wonderful. And I don't know, Mike, how many times you've done the safari, but I have done the safari a few times and seen these suspended bridges up on top of the safari track. So I found out that that was part of that tour, and so I decided to sign up for it. And it was just little old me by myself. With a group of people, but I can walk you through what happened and tell you whether or not I'd recommend it.
All right, Michelle. So does this take place at any time of the day? Is it in the morning, in the afternoon? Is it how do they do it?
They do two of them. You call 407 WDW Tour, and I was able to get, I can't remember, an annual pass or Disney Vacation Club, some sort of a discount. It was maybe 10% off. But I called, and there was an early morning one about 8 or 8:30, and then there was one at about 11:30. So they usually do two a day. And if you do the 8 o'clock one, you meet right when you get through the ticket, you know, the ticket turnstiles, I guess I want to say. But if you do the 11:30 one, which is the one that I did, you actually have to meet over near the Kilimanjaro Safaris. And I never noticed there was a sign there that says Wild Africa Trek. So you meet a few minutes before you start. You have to have a park pass. You have to have a park pass to get in and do this. It does not include a park pass. So because I have an annual pass, it was not a big deal for me, but just something to keep in mind. But if you are going to do this with a family, you will need a park day pass.
So, Michelle, I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking, well, wait a minute, before I even think about doing this, I want to know how much it's going to cost. So what is the cost?
So the cost is, according to the WDW Tour website, between $189 and $249. And I'm not sure what the discrepancy of price is. Maybe it has to do with availability. But it's one price for everybody. So they recommend it for tweens, teens, and adults. And there are some things that you need to remember, that you need to be ambulatory. There is a fair amount of walking. It's not just flat walking. It's walking in the woods. It's walking on suspended bridges. It's doing, you know, a minimal bit of climbing and things like that. But you do get to go behind the scenes. They warn you that if you have high blood pressure or back or neck problems, and if you have a fear of heights, this is probably not something for you, because although they make sure in so many ways that you're safe all the time, you are going to be in a harness and you're going to be walking over some bridges that are suspended pretty high up. So
sounds like it's for the adventurous at heart.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yes. So there are various times. If you go before the park opens, they'll meet you right where you go through the ticket turnstiles. But if you do what I did, which is to go a little bit later in the day, I started at 11:30. They don't tell you this on the ticket, but you actually have to go to Kilimanjaro Safaris, and that's where you're going to sign in. They ask for a photo ID when you get there. And you meet your party, and I just did it by myself, but people did it in pairs and families and things like that. And then they get you rolling. So you want to hear how you start?
Sure.
Okay. So what you do is, again, it's right by Kilimanjaro Safaris. If you've never noticed, there's a sign there that says Wild Africa Trek. And then they have this whole little preparation area that has, you're wearing vests and harnesses, and there are several cast members there, because it's quite a thing to get you prepared for this. So the first thing they do is you have to go step on a scale. They want to see how much you weigh. So that alone will instill fear in so many people, including me, but it's a private little screen that only the cast member can see.
So is there a weight limit?
I believe it's about 250 pounds, but what they were using mostly for is to decide what is the right vest for you to wear.
Oh, okay.
So they turn around, trying to think if there's anybody who I thought was, yeah, maybe it's even more than 250 pounds. I didn't see it on the website, but they turn around and they say, oh, you weigh this amount, and they turn around and they give you the vest that is for that amount. So then there are managers there. There are other people who work in that area. Everybody is helping people to get their vest on. And so you have to step in. Your vest clips in between your legs, around your legs. You zip it up. And they are so accommodating, and they've been through so many of these tours, that they actually give you a little strap so that you can attach it to your phone case, and they give you an attachable water bottle, and they also give you, they must have lost several pairs of these, they also give you a strap that attaches your sunglasses. So they have all those things as part of the tour. But you, when you're done, you have this vest on, you're zipped in, You have your water bottle in a pocket, kind of it's attached. You have your sunglasses attached. Your phone, if you want your phone, there is attached. So they do one of many, many, many safety checks. So not only does the person who puts you in the vest check your safety, but then somebody else comes and checks your safety. They say, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Does it feel comfortable? And then somebody else comes and checks it too. So a cast member friend recently was telling me about I think they call them the four keys of cast member. And one is, the first one in being a cast member is safety. So Disney wants you to be safe on this tour. So that's the first thing you do is you get into the stuff that you're going to be wearing for most of the rest of the day.
So how long is the entire experience?
That's a good question. I would say it is probably 11:30 to 2, so about 2.5 hours.
So you probably need to commit to 3 hours.
Yeah.
So if you're planning any type of activity, you have to say, well, you know, I'm tied up for this amount of time for 3 hours when I do this.
Yeah, so I tried to aim to get to the park to be getting out of my car at 10:45. I didn't know how busy it was going to be at the turnstiles and, you know, if I was going to need to get a tram to get there, although most times in Animal Kingdom, I like you, walk. And then I wasn't sure exactly where it was, so by the time I got to, you know, got checked in, walked from my car, checked in, everything, went through the ticket thing, I got there at about, I don't know, like 10 past 11, and then I kind of dilly-dallied a little because I knew I was early, and then I went over there, and I was the first one there, and they said, oh, just, you know, come back at 11:30, so.
Michelle, during the course of this wild African trek, did you get to see a lot of animals? And if so, what kind of animals did you see?
So do you want me to walk you through what we actually did?
Sure.
Okay. So one of the things I realized about this was that it is, I mentioned that there are people who help you get into your gear. You're accompanied throughout the entire experience by two cast members. And I had Stephanie and Danielle, who were both background in biology, very, very smart, and you know, I as I've mentioned probably on this podcast before, I've been to Africa. I know a little bit about African animals, and I'm an educator. I'm a science educator, so I kind of, you know, look at it and think, oh, is this going to be up to the things that I'm used to with my work with museums and things like that? I'm just going to start off by saying these two women were absolutely phenomenal. But they were only two of the many people who help you through this whole experience. You get to meet zookeepers. You get to meet other cast members along the way. There are people who are helping you check your gear. So there are a lot of people involved in this whole experience, which is why it probably costs so much more. So what you start off doing, Mike, is you start off going down the, I can't remember the name of the trail, the trail where the bats are, the fruit bats and things like that.
The fruit bat trail.
Yeah. And then you get to a point where the public goes one way and you get to go backstage. So everybody, we're walking with our gear and everybody's saying, what the heck are they doing? And you go backstage and you start to go really through the woods. So you kind of go up, there are tree limbs and things, you have to be careful. But you're walking through the back of where the hippos are. So right away you're not hooked onto anything, but as soon as you go backstage to where the hippos are, they clip everybody onto a line and you get to go right to where, they don't want you falling into the hippo tank, right? Hippos are very dangerous. But you go in there and you meet a zookeeper who is also clipped onto the line. And for us, the zookeeper started explaining a little bit about the behavior of the hippos. And so that was the first encounter with animals. So you get to see a lot of animals. So what he did was he had a bucket full of food. And each of the different animals has some sort of a sound that they come when they hear that sound. They come for the food. These two hippos were in mating season. So he banged the bucket had all sorts of lettuce in there, and they would not come to us. They were just enamored. They wouldn't move. So we did get to see them, and it was kind of fun, and we get to ask a lot of questions. And then we went back into the woods. We unhooked ourselves, and we went back along our journey. So the next part of the journey was we got to go over a suspended bridge. And once again, it is very, there are a lot of directions. You have to stand in a certain place. You have to hook in a certain way. They teach you how to use the carabiners, you know, the clip things. It's like triple safety, these gigantic carabiners. So you have to learn how to use those. You have to stand in a certain place. You have to move a certain way. You have to be checked. And then the next thing was you get to go across the suspended bridge. So at that point, this is where you see the safari vehicles, and everybody's looking up saying, wait a second, why are there people crossing over the bridge? But one of the things I wanted to mention, Mike, is that they take photographs of you all along the way. And at the end of your experience, they give you a website with a number, and you have access to all of your photographs for 90 days. And they have use a really nice Nikon camera. So it's everybody in the whole group, all their photographs. But you can download them, put them on social media, do whatever you want. So that was one of the first experiences where they took photos. When you were coming across the bridge, there was a cast member on the other side taking photos of you actually going across the bridge. And it was, you know, I'm not really super afraid of heights, but you're hooked on this line above the bridge, although, you know, it's a little wobbly. There's a net below it. So I didn't feel unsafe for one second, but I do have a funny story to tell you, because I know, Mike, you're afraid of heights. Yes?
Well, you know, up to a certain point, I'm fine, and then I get a little concerned, yeah, just like anybody else.
So I was asking one of the cast members, Danielle, have you ever had anybody who didn't want to cross this? And they said, well, we have had some people, and we have to stop the tour for them, because you can't get anywhere unless you cross these bridges. You just can't get there. She said she had one person cry. She said, unfortunately, it was my mother. Her mother started crying, and she said to her mother, look, I'm giving this tour. You need to cross over. But, and she made it, and she was happy. But you get to look at the animals from above, and then you continue on and, you know, do a little bit more.
So, Michelle, I don't want to interrupt you, but how high was this bridge?
Oh, boy, I'm not really good at estimating.
40
say,
feet? Would you say 40 feet above?
Yeah. I'd say higher than that. 50 feet? 50
okay.
feet above?
That gives everybody an idea as to how high it was.
I would say three stories.
Okay.
So so then you go through a few more areas. You go get to see the crocodiles. You're clipped onto a line. You get to look in their area, safely. You know, it's not like they're going to come up, but there's another cast member there talking about the crocodiles. They have areas backstage where you get to look at skulls and things like that, skull models. And again, any question that we had a really bright seventh grader who had wonderful questions. And any question you had, they were able to tackle it, whether it be diet or behavior or whatever. So they were great. Water was provided all along the way. We had our water bottles that come with the tour. You get a Wild Africa Trek water bottle. But there are places where you could fill up your water along the way. And then eventually we got to a point where we hiked through the woods, and it was time to take off the vests. And we got to, so they collected the vests, and then we got to go into our own safari vehicles. And it was a very hot day. And when we sat down, the first thing they did was they cracked open a cooler, and it had those cold cloths that sometimes we have at races, and they gave you those. And we were on our own little safari vehicle that was separate from the ones in the regular ride. So we got to go off to the side of the road and look at the animals for a little bit longer. There was a new baby elephant, and you know, there were giraffe who were really behaving in interesting ways. So we got to go off the side and actually look at those. And then the next part was they took you, if you're on the safari ride, you can see that there's like a little hut up on the top. Have you ever seen it? mm-hmm. up in the top yep. when you're going by. It's on the right on a hill. You actually go up there and they give you, I would say, it's not a gigantic lunch, but you have a little meal there, and it filled me up enough to call it a lunch. So it's a cute little like camp sort of kit, and inside there's all sorts of things that you would get on safari in Africa, and I can tell you there were some things that I actually had when I was on safari in Africa, and I called ahead of time and asked for a vegetarian option. They were able to accommodate me. You have to call 48 hours ahead of time. But it was absolutely delicious. It was really, really yummy. And then they took us from there. We got back on the truck, and we went back, and that was the end of our experience.
So, you know, normally when someone talks about something that they've done, I'd ask them if they'd do it again. But this is probably one of those where you do it once and you wouldn't want to do it again. Would you do it again?
It's a lot of money to do more than once. I think I would do it if I wanted to take somebody on it who would be, like my son Liam loves animals. I might do it if it was something that he wanted to do. I would say every cast member was just absolutely top notch. It was a great experience. It was really fun. We had our own driver who was really great too. And I think I would maybe in a few years. I wouldn't do it next year, but it was a blast. And I wanted to, the next tour that I did, I found out something, but I wanted to kind of mention it here because it's something that I didn't know before. But you can give a cast compliment if on Twitter you do hashtag cast compliment and tag at WDW today. Does that sound familiar? At WDW today. That's one of Disney's Twitter handles. So I went on and did hashtag cast compliment to Danielle and Stephanie, who were my tour guides, and said that they were fantastic. And what Disney does is if they possibly can, they go and find that cast member and they give them a printout of what you said. And so I got a few days later, I said Danielle and Stephanie were wonderful. I got a picture on Twitter with them holding up a little sign that said Asante Sana, which is thank you very much in Swahili. So I think I want to do it more often. I mean, how many times? It doesn't have to just be the tour guides. It could be anybody.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Michelle, yeah. Because so many times we hear people complaining about cast members. But we also hear people saying, oh, my God, if it wasn't for this cast member, I wouldn't be able to do this. This, she was great. He was great. Well, I think that I know that I have had cast member friends who have said to me how their records are very important. And when you get a compliment from a guest, it's a big, big deal. And so I encourage everybody who's out there listening to remember what Michelle said, and if there's some experience that you think is just outstanding due to a cast member's effort, please, please compliment them.
Yeah, so they do. They sometimes bring them just the printout. Sometimes they'll bring them balloons or something like that. But the thing is that the cast member will know that you went out of your way to say thank you to them. And I was told that there's just one department who's in charge of doing this. Like, they just go and find people. So, you know, maybe it's a custodian, maybe it's housekeeping, maybe it's somebody at the front desk, maybe it's whoever. So it's at WDW today, and just tag it, hashtag cast compliment.
Well, thank you for that eye-opening firsthand account of that wild African trek. And before we leave, we want to mention to everyone where online they could go to sign up for this, and where would that be?
All you have to do is do Wild Africa Trek, Walt Disney World Tours, but or you could just call 1-407-WDW-TOUR and ask for whatever discount you have, whether it's Disney Vacation Club, annual pass, whatever. It doesn't hurt to ask. So,
another adventure by Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Would you do it, Mike? That's a question I wanted to ask you.
I think that it's a possibility I might do it.
Yeah, good.
We'll see. So for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road, and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.